The carpet was put into the hearse, and everyone walked behind to the churchyard. Before arriving at the church, the old Manx tune would be raised by the clerk and sung verse word by line by line to the words of that old psalm. Nowadays, people just attend the service in the church or chapel, and only the mourners attend at the graveside. Meetings in the old schoolroom used to be held in the winter times. Every Thursday, there was a religious meeting known as the Bright Hour. Various speakers would be on the platform, and some from other parts of the island. Hymns would be sung, accompanied by a small string orchestra. Magic lantern shows were put on some evenings, as well as cinema shows. The local choirs took part singing, and several others, and some soloists would be there singing well-known songs. It was a very pleasant meeting, which was carried on for years. That old Sunday school has been demolished, and now the Garden of Remembrance is situated on that site. I found it interesting looking back over the years. The village has changed nowadays. Some shops have different owners, and the local post office has been transferred at least four times to other shops. Thinking back over the years, I have not included the annual visit of Mr. Robert Matheson from Dublin to the village to hold the special services for the children on the Chapel Beach. For many years, towards the end of summer, the red banners with the initial CSSM would be erected every morning on the beach. Children would form and make a sand pulpit and decorate it with seaweed. Mr. Matthew had some helpers with him, and they would sometimes give an address, but he himself usually had something to say at every meeting. On Sunday afternoons, the meeting would be held on Gansey Rocks, where a number of we village lads would attend it. We learned some beautiful choruses those afternoons. On Sunday evening, the service was held in the Happy Valley after the local chapels were closed. In the early mornings, a short service was usually held in the town hall. Mr. Matheson is dead many years now, but later generations of the Mathesons are carrying on where he left off, and the red banner still is seen on the beach today. The churches of the village had a memorial erected on the lower promenade near to where the meetings were held in those early days in memory of that wonderful man. I will close my narrative with a poem about two men who went down to Port Bourke to collect lobster pots for storing for the winter months. One of the men told me about it, and later on I wrote the story in poetry form, and I've called it The Storing of the Pots. In the summertime, there's lobster pots in Portrait Mary Bay. They are marked by 1,000 headcocks and are hauled up every day. For some men it is a living, and for others it's fresh food. With the lobsters very plentiful, they all fare pretty good. At the back end of the year, the pots are always brought ashore. Any large yard or a garden shed is used to make a store. Slime and seaweed on the thows rot off when they're put out to dry. Later on, they're taken in and coiled, and with the pots put by. Tommy Quirk, who lived up on the Cronk, had pots to fetch and store. They'd been hauled and lay on Port Bourke Beach a week or so before. 3 or 4 trips with his handcart was as much as he would make. 6 lobster pots at once was all that he could take. In the course of conversation with a man he slightly knew, Tommy spoke about his lobster pots and what he'd planned to do. Then the man said he would like to come and help him with the work. They agreed to meet each other down the new quay at Port Bourke. Tommy went to get his pots next day, walked down to the new quay, pushed his handcart to the big warehouse and parked it by the tree. Looking round, he found his friend not there, so went down on the beach. Hid his pots and thous piled high and dry, where high tides did not reach. There were other men down on the beach, so talk began to flow. Still no sign of Tommy's friend about, the men began to go. At the warehouse door, a car had stopped, and his friend came on the scene. Didn't know where Port Bourke Beach just lay, inquiring he had been. It was time to start to move the pots. They walked up with one each, stepping over mooring ropes and chains that lay there on the beach. Tommy, leading, walked towards his cart, then had to pass a car, an estate type with a trailer hitched and splashed with mud and tar. "Why not fill the trailer?" said his friend, "for that will be the best." "Righto then," said Tom. He put his in and went back for the rest. On went 20 lobster pots and thous. The trailer held them all. Then they rested, lit their cigarettes, and sat down on the wall. Tommy moved to go, walked round the car, and opened the back door. To make room to sit, he moved some tins and put them on the floor. Whilst in doing this, his friend came in. He, too, sat in the back, spoke inquiring how to clean his hands the tarred thous had made black. They discussed a while, then silence reigned, and Tommy thought a bit. Surely my friend should be in the front. Why come in here and sit? Though he felt it strange, he said no word, thought someone would arrive, maybe his friend's wife or his son, some person who could drive. Then his friend spoke up. "We'd better go, get to the wheel and start." "I can't drive," said Tommy. "It's your car. I've only got a cart." "If it's not your car then," said his friend, "we've filled it with your gear." "I've not got one either, never had." "Who's this that then parked here?" They sat looking at each other then, for neither was to blame. Then they got out quickly to unload before the owner came. From the warehouse door, a man appeared. He told them both to stop. "We've been watching you some time," he said, and laughing fit to drop. "I'm the owner of this car," he said. "Don't bother to unpack. Your performance reached its climax when you both got in the back." Tommy then explained as they went up his friend he'd lately met. Each man thought the other owned the car. They weren't acquainted yet. He apologized for what they'd done. The owner shook his head. "It was entertainment that for me, a real good laugh," he said. All this happened many years ago. I heard it recently. I have only changed the sailor's name. He told the yarn to me. Now I've come to the end of my story. That was how we lads of the village lived and amused ourselves in our youth. The port has changed throughout the years I've talked about. Gone are the old men. We young boys that were are the old men today. Quattro's boatyard is no more. The warehouse has been made into flats. No rowing boats are available either, as all the men have passed on. No herrings are landed here. No barrels are on the pier or stacked up in the fields. A few fishing boats fish for scallops. The steam packet boats haven't been in here for many years. No coal boats come in either. Coal is distributed by lorries all over the island these days from Douglas. The schooners have gone. In their place are private yachts and private boats which are used for fishing locally. When I look back in my mind of how busy the place used to be 70 years ago, I feel very grateful to having lived when Port St. Mary was Port St. Mary. That is the end of my story.